We talked this week about handling grief this time of year and during a pandemic. But as many as a quarter of Americans are facing something that often feels like death, but it's not. It's the purgatory of estrangement. The I'm done. I've had it with this family. You will never see me or my children again. You are dead to me. Cutting off of loved ones. Sociologist Carl Pillemer did a study on estrangement and says, first, if you are estranged, you're not alone. Did you know Christopher Robin, the real-life son of author A.A. Milne and the model for the Christopher Robin in the Winnie the Pooh books, was estranged from his dad for a lifetime? He said his father stole his childhood. And Pillemer also found what family members do to each other when they estrange, they do to future generations who are left wondering what happened or left to repeat the same behavior. And except, of course, when it's dangerous, healing from even some of the worst estrangements is possible. Carl Pillemer is professor of human development at Cornell University. His book is Fault Lines, Fractured Families and How to Mend Them. He joins us from Ithaca, New York. And Carl, you've had family experience with this, but you were still surprised at the impact of estrangement?
Yeah, it's extraordinary. One of the things I found is how profoundly difficult this is. I sort of knew that, but through interviewing several hundred people, I didn't realize the degree to which they felt it was a death, an open wound. I also learned how isolated people feel, that they have a sense of shame. So it's a very stressful and stigmatizing, and for most people, isolating experience, especially around the holidays.
Well, you point out to us that this has been described as something called ambiguous loss. It was a phrase coined by therapist Pauline Boss. While people are physically absent from each other, they're psychologically present. They're people on both sides of this chasm might be thinking all the time about it, even for years. What are some of the reasons that people become estranged?
I was able to uncover some key pathways to how people get to this. One of them I called the long arm of the past. Through a history of harsh parenting or emotional or physical abuse and neglect, or even less extreme things like parental favoritism or sibling rivalry, a more proximal cause we found is what I termed the problematic in-law. As the family of origin struggles with the family of marriage, a third key pathway is money and inheritance. So wills, inheritance, and business issues. And finally, there's the area of differences in values and expectations. So we really found that expectations can emerge from a disapproval of a relative's core values, which then can turn into outright rejection. And someone coming to that point where they say, I'm done, I never want to speak to you or hear from you again.
I'm done. I mean, you tell such painful stories. There's the woman who fell in love with another woman. Her mother could not accept this relationship, would come to the house. At one point, the daughter, the adult daughter, had to call the police on her own mother and for her own sake decided she had to estrange from this mother. But you also describe grandparents absolutely sick at heart, you know, trying to sneak on Facebook to get a look at children that have been removed from them. I mean, describe some of the pain that you're seeing.
Estrangements constitute a kind of chronic stress. Because even in situations where the person is very difficult, if you've grown up with a parent or a sibling, you have these irrational bonds of attachment to them. Another reason why it's painful is based in decades of social psychological research showing that when you're personally rejected, it basically violates a lot of what helps to support our psychological well-being and the feeling of powerlessness that really bothers people as well. For almost everybody, you hear this profound sadness, a sense of incompleteness in their life, and that really pushes some people towards at least the idea of reconciliation.
Well, I want to talk about that, how to do that. But first, what did you find about how this impacts the concentric circles around two people who've become estranged? You know, whole families have to split. Some people may, you know, not see beloved cousins and always be thinking about them.
And I call it collateral damage. Innocent bystanders are profoundly impacted by estrangements. Often, say, if in the parental generation there's a fight over a business or a rift, it spreads its way down into the next generations. so that cousins who may have grown up together become estranged from one another through no fault of their own. And I had many people talk about that, how they'd been part of a warm extended family that was really rent asunder by an estrangement. There also is the difficulty of being caught in the middle. So I was privileged to be able to interview a number of college students who had estrangements in their families. And they would go home and all the conversation with mom was around what her siblings had done to her over the last 3 months. It got in the way of their own development. So one thing I do encourage people to think about is before you say to someone in your family, "It's over, I'm never going to see you again," think about the impact on future generations. Do you really want your children to have no contact with their children? I experienced this in my own family in the grandparental generation, where there's a whole side of the family about whom I know nothing, who might have been there to be supportive and wonderful relatives.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about how you're cutting off future generations from resources. That's what extended family is. Okay, so how do you mend this? Yes, there are people who it may not be safe for them to, but you talked to young adults who left incredibly abusive parents and then found their way back to a sort of relationship. You say that the people who do this, the number one thing that's a motivator is you do it for yourself.
You know, I'm so glad you raised that because I actually had someone say, "I didn't do this for my father. He can go jump in the lake as far as that's concerned. I reconciled because it was for me." It stuck in my mind how a guy who had been estranged from his brother for 25 years said, "I woke up that morning after I called him for the first time the day before, and I said, wow, I'm no longer thinking about the fact that I haven't spoken to my brother for 25 years. So a couple things I would encourage people to think of. First is to really think if you're ready to reconcile. And some signs of that, you start feeling anticipated regret. This has occurred to people in the pandemic. Will it be too late? You also have to think about if the circumstances have changed. The person may be different. I also encourage people to develop a plan. And that's where counseling can be really helpful, is to think of what you want out of the restored relationship, what you'll do if the other person is not willing to do so. So you can think about some protective things. I did find that people who successfully reconciled had several things in common. They explored their own role in the estrangement. So they didn't accept blame, but they looked at how they might have been involved, and that empowered them. We also found that people needed to reduce their expectations, realizing that the sibling or parent's not going to become that ideal person you wanted.
Well, and you may not get the porcelain vase that you're sibling got when an estate was settled. You have to give up on being right, right?
That's wonderfully stated. I'd say the most important thing that people did, people got over that desire to have the other person admit that they'd been a terrible parent, terrible sibling. And interestingly, they abandoned often the need for an apology. Those who reconciled learned that an apology wasn't necessary, and in fact, often occurred after the reconciliation. People have to decide there are some individuals who are in either dangerous or emotionally devastating right. past relationships who should only try this if they're also benefiting from counseling of some kind. I will say that there was one experience that really united people who had reconciled. Almost 100% of people said, "This was one of the major achievements of my adult life." I do have one very specific piece of advice for people, though.
Yeah.
One thing that many people said is addressing all these family issues at a holiday gathering is not really the right time. Wait until a more opportune and less emotionally laden time.
Boy, Carl Pillemer, again, the book is Fault Lines, Fractured Families, and How to Mend Them. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking with you.